Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Monday, December 2nd. It's 7 p.m. December 2nd, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Talking today about going from death to life. How to go from times in your life where you feel like something is dying, maybe a dream, maybe the way things used to be, maybe a relationship or a job or a career, and how to recover from that and to move into new life. And what I believe is a very important process that includes forgiveness. So let me tell you a little bit about that. Before I get into the show, I want to tell you, I guess, give you a little bit of my anxiety update, just to kind of always keep it real here with you guys, and as well to help anyone out there that is feeling it during this holiday season. The Christmas season is a combination for me of high joy and high anxiety for many reasons. First, history. I've always dealt with anxiety in December. Second, this is normally when our church and all churches deal with budget stuff and crunching the numbers and working through leadership issues and making sure that everything is lined up. And, you know, and as the lead pastor of churches through the years, those are very difficult decisions that have to be made. And really, there's nothing terrible that I'm doing, meaning that needs to be done this year in my life with regards to budget and stuff, but it's just the pressure of it all. And as a lover, not a fighter, I would rather be healing people and being kind and loving people than crunching numbers, even though I'm fairly good at it, but it does definitely stress me out. Number two, or three, I guess, is because my father passed away during the holiday season. My grandmother, who basically raised me, so she was like my mother, she died literally on Christmas Eve, my father on Christmas or on New Year's Day, or I think it was January 3rd. So you can imagine what this season does to me, even though I love it and I love the carols and church and Jesus and the lights, everything. But, and then on top of that, as an empath, I absorb a ton of the sadness that people feel at this time of the year. We had a beautiful lady who's 96 fall and hurt her face really badly just a few weeks ago. And so I have internalized that. I have another friend who is struggling with cancer. I have another friend, his wife also is dealing with cancer. I have a family member whose daughter is struggling. I have another friend, pastor, whose son committed suicide just a few weeks ago. So, you know, you can imagine for us empaths, we absorb everything and it has to go through our bodies. And the way it's manifesting this time is through kind of a mind fog or a brain fog. I feel like I can't remember names. And so it freaks me out that I have Alzheimer's and that I am losing my mind. And I keep testing myself and I keep looking for proof that, see, I forgot that person's name or I didn't know how to say paperclip. It's just this this endless vicious cycle of looking for proof for the lie that you're believing. And so the answer to this, from years of experience, is to believe the truth. And so what I do every time that this little panic hits me of me losing my mind is I tell myself the truth. I'm fine. Excuse me. This is just my anxiety talking. This is just what my anxiety does. Mr. Bill is here, or this killer bee is here, or Bruce is here. You know, I've named my anxiety many things throughout the years. This monster, this quote friend, this enemy is here, and he eventually will leave. And then I begin to laugh at all the things that I have written down that are wrong with me, that have all been symptoms of my anxiety, from gallbladder issues to watery mouth to, you name it, to all kinds of crazy stuff that in the moment, like now, it feels like fact, but really is a lie. And so I hope that my tips can help you if you are dealing with similar things, if you are also dealing with high levels of anxiety. And I know another thing that I also tell myself is, you know, I haven't been sleeping well for the last 3 months. My beautiful wife is in her first year as a principal, and she wakes up at 3 a.m. every day. No joke. Every morning she wakes up at 3 a.m. to basically stress and work and try to deal with all the weight of being a lead pastor or a lead principal, in her case, a leader, and all that goes with a first-year principal, etc. And so all of those factors, you can imagine, right? A logical person would say, of course, you're feeling a bit kind of like all over the place with your mind. But because it's my mind and because it's my body, it's always scary. I'm fine. It's just how I deal with these symptoms, and I'm telling myself the truth and working through it. And even talking to you about this here in this podcast is a part of my healing. So with that said, let me get into the content of today's episode. So for the last 10 years, I have been trying to become successful in my second, half of life, or kind of post-midlife. I'm 50. And so when I was about 42, 43, I left the church as I knew it. As a pastor, as a musician, as a worship leader, I truly felt that I was done with church. I was telling everybody that. I was telling myself that, my wife, everybody. If you hear some noise back there, I think my family's playing or watching Jeopardy. So it sounds like a lot of fun. But anyway, and so I left kind of that life that was very dear to me and successful, but because of a lot of pain and et cetera, I was done. And so I embarked on this journey the last 7-8 years to be successful at something else. Well, that has been one of the most difficult things in my life. I have achieved very little in terms of success, worldly success. I have been measuring myself, I would say, strictly and almost punishing myself over all the things that I haven't done. And so my favorite word these last 8 years has been the other F-bomb, the word failure. And for an Enneagram 3, a success-driven person like I am, an achiever, plus you add my anxiety, this failure has been my death. Feeling like I haven't grown my church, like I wasn't able to hold a job back then, that I wasn't able to make a lot of money with this business or this side hustle or my music or my beats or my body or you name it, my schooling. All of these things have been ammunition to my feelings of failure. Whereas I could have seen it as progress or as feedback or as learning lessons. Instead, I saw it as failure, and it has damaged me. It has emotionally, physically, spiritually, this process has truly been damaging and yet necessary. But if you're familiar with Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, really if you're familiar with life, you understand that this is normal. If you're not familiar with Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, he talks about how the hero embarks on a great adventure, maybe in his 20s. At some point, you think Luke Skywalker, or think of the Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. At some point, the hero embarks on this journey to go and do something great for himself, for those he loves. And for me, that was church, that was music, that was worship. And I provided for my family. I married the woman of my dreams, had 3 amazing children, was able to buy a house, all the things, the American dream, all the things that I longed for. I had it all by age 28, 29. And so even a beautiful body, I had worked out greatly, tremendously, and had the body of my dreams. But then, as I said, came this huge shift in my mind. I knew that era was coming to an end. And yet this darkness or this desert experience began these last 8 years. And now it's come to an end pretty much. And I know that because I feel, I guess I'll use the word defeated, not in terms of my future, but in terms of, I feel surrendered, perhaps is a better word. And just like the hero, like Luke Skywalker, you know, he meets his nemesis, his father, or like Neo from the Matrix, he meets the, I don't know, whatever that monster was at the end, or how, you know, how he's blinded by Mr. Anderson. Every hero meets its match. And so for me, it was this church, this current church that I'm at, this beautiful church that I love. These last 3 years really was, I would say, the end of me. the end of me as I've known myself, this success-driven person who believed that just with one message, with one smile, with one handshake, I would grow this church from 50 to 5,000 in 6 months or less. Can you say, wow? I really believe that. I really know that those are my gifts, but see, it wasn't meant to be. Because life and God and the universe and fate needed me to fall apart. And this isn't an idea that I'm having. This isn't just being melancholic or feeling sad. This goes way beyond that. I have the scars to prove how difficult and what a burial, I guess to be dramatic, this has been. A burial of my old self, my false self. This false self that believed that in order to be loved and worthy or and worthwhile, worth being loved, I had to succeed. And I gave up. I Esau and Jacob, I sold my inheritance that I had before God for a bowl of lentil soup called success, called I can do this, called I'm going to go on a journey without God for the most part, on my own, pulling myself from my bootstraps, and I'm going to be amazing. And reality is, many people do this. There are movies on this. There are many books written on this. There are many people that maybe you know, maybe yourself can relate to what I'm saying. Many of us embark on this second journey that, shamedly, we can say doesn't include God. It's all self-focused, self-driven, and maybe even self-seeking. I know it was true of me. I can honestly say that. I wanted to build my church so that I would look good. I wanted to love people so that they would help me build my church so that I would look good. I wanted to kick and scream and yell and be angry so that the people that were in my way to my greatness would leave. And a lot of that was good. A lot of that was just not right. It was my ego talking. And so God had to kill my ego. And like Jacob and the angel, there had to be a wrestling match out in the desert. And finally, on the rock of Bethel, which I think it means God is here, my name had to be changed from Jacob the liar, which is very much me, lying to myself, lying to others, lying to God, lying to life, to God is my strength, Israel. God is my strength. And so I find myself these last literally maybe few weeks, few months, moving from ego to death to what Joseph Campbell calls atonement. Basically, I call it forgiveness. First, forgiving myself for being this man who I'm ashamed to admit was ruling my life. Second, to ask myself for forgiveness, to forgive myself, ask God for forgiveness, say, Lord, like the prodigal son, I am not worthy to be called your son anymore. Please forgive me. Please take me as one of your servants. I am no longer worthy. And I have felt that way in my integrity, in my perhaps even my morals sometimes, in my anger, my frustration, my emotions, my ego, my idols, in what I, in my pursuits, I felt like I was wrong. And I have asked God for forgiveness. I have asked myself forgiveness. I have asked people for forgiveness. And that has been a horrible and yet necessary death. And the atonement, or you know, atonement means that someone else pays a price for our sins, has come through the way of a lot of help, therapists, coaches, my dear friend Ty, who's one of my spiritual mentors, who's a pastor of mine, my dear friend Kirk, another amazing mentor of mine, my friend Troy, who has been praying for me during all this season. Of course, my wife, my mom, I mean, our children, the Word of God, my staff, my therapist. I mean, I've had a whole support system to walk me through this death. And as a friend of mine was telling me, she was telling me that she saw a movie that was just exactly like this about some king or something that was, I think, from the movie on Netflix called The Crown. She was like, is this something that all 50-year-old men go through? And I'm like, I guess. She's like, there's a movie about this. You should watch it. So it kind of like put me in my place because, you know, as much as we think that we're so special, this is very common. So I hope that I'm not breaking or bursting your bubble, that what we're going through as artists, types, and creatives, and healers, and empaths is really very common. And this is just a part of life. But this is my journey, and I want to share it with the world so that you know what I'm going through, and not just for me, but so that you can relate and you can say, okay, maybe that's what I'm going through, or my husband or my friend or someone that you know, maybe your leader, your boss, maybe another 50-year-old man out there. Gozo 50. Viva 50. Now, this forgiveness is atonement. It looks like a dying to my dreams, but last week I listened to a podcast. I was out praying, and my wife and I and our kids took a little break to go and pray, and a little kind of a retreat to pray, to reset, to just take some time to be together. And while I was out there, I listened to a podcast by these two pastors who were interviewing a quote friend of mine who's a pastor at a church here in the area in Pasadena, Tara Powers or Tara Lee, I'm not sure exactly, but shout out to Tara, lead pastor at Pasadena Nazarene Church. And she was talking about her ups and downs. See, a lot of my death these last 3 years has been because I'm at a mostly older white church with a huge facility, with money in the bank, with, just to say it, older white men in power. And me, as a sacrificial lamb, as the first Latino pastor ever in the history of this church, has had to basically just, they've cut their teeth on me, or however that phrase goes. I've been the sacrificial lamb, without a doubt. Racist comments, all kinds of attacks. I mean, I had once a board member call me a false prophet, and I should be taken outside and stoned to death because I prayed for someone in the church, and he didn't agree with my prayer for her. It was his girlfriend, or ex-girlfriend, I guess. So going through all that mess has brought me to this place of atonement. And this, I bring that up because my friend, a pastor friend of mine, Tara, she's going through a similar experience at her church as the first woman pastor in the history of this Nazarene traditional, probably older white traditional church, you know, high church, kind of mainstream church. And she, her board member calling me a false prophet was, there was some sort of like, I think, tweet or Facebook group called, I don't know, something like, this pastor's killing our church, or rescue Paznaz, or something along those lines. Basically starting a Facebook group, and it had, I don't know, hundreds of people in it. This is a large church, like 1,000 or so. All signing up to basically get rid of her because they believe scripturally that as a woman pastor, she was destroying their church. Can you imagine that? Regardless of how you feel theologically about women in leadership, the extent at which people can go to destroy something they don't agree with, it's really unbelievable. So I can relate to that. So as I was hearing her story and having these two pastors, the hosts, interview her, at the end of the interview, she was talking about the ABCs of ministry, attendance, buildings, and cash, and how all metrics evaluate pastors based on the ABCs, on attendance, buildings, and cash. And then she said something that really struck me. She said, you know, and in reality, I also evaluate myself along those metrics. She was honest enough to say that her success metric or her measure of success was not spiritual vitality or Holy Spirit power or salvations. It was attendance, buildings, and cash. And when she said it that way, I felt understood. I'm like, I'm exactly the same way. Not only am I afraid of being evaluated, not only am I, it's almost like self-inflicting pain or inflicting pain upon myself. Not only am I self-mutilating with all this, or, you know, what is this? Sadistic? Masochistic? One of those words. My Alzheimer's hitting. Masochistic. Not only am I being masochistic in this, meaning killing myself with these metrics, but I myself hold these metrics up as an idol to my old self, to this feeling of success. I have to be successful, else I die, else I am nothing, else I am worthless in the eyes of God, my peers, myself. And I'm living in fear of the white man because he, again, this is just me talking, has what I want. The power, the money, the control, the attendance, the buildings, and the cash. And so my descent to failure and death started. And so when she said that, okay, so my point, I guess, to finish the story, the two hosts were saying how they teach, because they, you know, they hear the same thing from thousands of pastors. They try to help pastors in this, in these situations, move from failure to faithfulness. And man, that just hit me so much. Because if there's something that hits me the most, is what a faithful man I am to my wife. How in light of temptation and a bunch of things that could go wrong, and in marriage and in ministry and women and men and my own sin and all that goes with ministry, and you hear it on TV, I feel it in my heart. I know what it's like to fail. I know how easy it is to be unfaithful to your wife. I have been faithful by the grace of God. Second, I've been faithful to raise our children. I have been committed for now 21 years to raise our three young adults. Don't call me teens, Dad. We're not teens anymore. Well, two of them are. And then third, I've been faithful to this calling. In spite of board members calling me a false prophet, they should be stoned. And I mean, all these horrible things, I have remained faithful. And what does the Bible say? If you are faithful in the what? In the small things, I will put you over great things. Who will do it? He will. I was trying to do it on my own without God, building my own Tower of Babel without God. I don't need God. I got it. I'm so gifted. I'm so handsome. I'm so amazing. Well, how is that going for you there, Bob? Like my therapist would always say, how is that working out for you there, buddy? Not too good. Not too well. And so as I heard this podcast, I began to really meditate on this concept of moving from failure to faithfulness. And I'm telling you, I am just, I'm on round one of 15. I am like one day, I was just born. I don't even know if I'm born yet. I might just have like the pains of labor. I might just be in labor pains, or meaning the new me might just be in labor right now. There might still be another month or two, or I don't know, a couple of weeks before I'm fully formed into this new man. But I can tell you one thing, a new day is coming and I am excited. My prayer for you today is that if you are going through anything, even remotely close to what I'm going through, that you will know that the end is near. You will be fine. God is faithful. Move from failure to faithfulness. Move from failure to fulfillment. How can you move from failure to fruitfulness? That your life, not your results, but that your life would be called faithful. How can you move from being a failure to fulfilling your God-given destiny? How can you begin to be that new woman, that new man that God wants you to be? Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you subscribe, comment, like. If you would like my free life coaching, check out davidtrigg.com/free coaching. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.